Architect Clarence E. Shepard once said, Kansas City's residential districts should be its greatest source of pride. To that end, he spent his career designing houses in some of the city's most desirable zip codes. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on Central Standard, a local historian will tell us how to spot prairie-style architecture. We'll also visit with local musicians Victor and Penny, who have coined their own genre of music. They call it antique pop. But lest you think we would let the hour go by without helping you make a new friend, meet the migrating armadillo.
I think anybody that tells you how far north armadillos are capable of going, boy, they're really taking a gamble and making a prediction.
That's coming up after this news. Good morning and welcome to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman. The residential neighborhoods of Kansas City have distinctive personalities, but they can be subtle and it can be hard to pinpoint exactly what contributes to that sense of familiarity. Today we'll be learning about the life, work, and philosophy of an architect by the name of Clarence Shepard, who built more than 600 houses in our city, some of which are still standing today. Here to tell us about Clarence Shepard and the Prairie School style of architecture is Bill Worley. He's a history professor at the Metropolitan Community College. Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
When did you first learn about Clarence Shepard? How did you find out about him?
Well, some years ago, probably more than I'd care to reveal, I was working on my doctoral dissertation at the University of Kansas, and I was centering on J.C. Nichols and the development of the Country Club District and then how that affected life in Kansas City. And Clarence Shepard's name would keep coming up in a variety of ways. Because he did design a number of houses in that part of the city, as well as in other parts of the city as well.
He also built churches in addition to houses.
Correct.
And that seems to be of particular interest to you as well?
Well, yes. I'm interested. I'm really a social historian as opposed to necessarily an architectural historian. So I'm interested in how architecture affects how people live and how they relate to each other. And churches are definitely in that latter category because as places of worship and also to some extent as community centers, they certainly affect the interactions of people. And the style of the church is very interesting. In the case of Clarence Shepard, he actually designed a couple of Presbyterian churches in Kansas City, one of which is currently shall we say, under renovation, actually rebuilding. That would be Westport Presbyterian, the one that suffered the terrible fire.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that one a bit more later.
Sure. And the other is Second Presbyterian, which is at 55th and Oak, right in the Country Club District that J.C. Nichols developed.
So getting back to the houses for a little while here, I have read that he built more than 600 houses, and 600 houses sounds incredibly prolific to me. Was he just an incredibly industrious person?
Well, and it should be pointed out that that's a total number in Kansas City and outside of Kansas City. Because
He
also worked in cities in Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Enid, and a few other places. I think he may have even designed one or two in Bartlesville. But his total output is quite prolific. I should also point out that he can be sometimes, and is sometimes, I should say, confused with another Shepherd who's an architect in Kansas City, or was, Charles Shepherd of Shepherd, Farrar, and Straw, Shepherd and Farrar Architects. And so as a result of that, because that was a very prolific firm as well, and they designed a similar number almost entirely in their case in Kansas City. So there are a lot of Shepherd houses around, and they both spell it S-H-E-P-A-R-D.
They're not making it easy for us.
No, they're not, except that actually if you're doing research, it's helpful if there's a distinctive spelling.
Well, you're giving a talk about Clarence Shepard at the library this Sunday, and you've titled that talk Clarence E. Shepard and the Prairie School Style. What is the Prairie School Style?
Basically, Prairie School Style developed in Chicago in the late 19th century and then proliferated in, the pre-World War I era. in Chicago and throughout the Midwest. It is probably most closely connected, and this is both its strength and its weakness in the long term, with the name of Frank Lloyd Wright. This was back when Frank Lloyd Wright was doing things that people really wanted to live in. some of his later houses, which are quite interesting, tend to have leaky roofs and are not necessarily designed for comfortable living, were much more just extensions of his personality. When I say that can be a negative as well, is simply that Wright was a polarizing figure in architecture, and people either liked what he did or didn't. And there were many other people, including Clarence Shepard, who worked with him at one time or another and utilized some of the elements of Prairie School architecture in their own work. But people tend to automatically then connect that or compare that work with whatever Wright example that they want to throw out. And indeed, the whole purpose of Prairie School architecture is to create a unique American style of architecture. That was really the purpose in the first place.
I read that they didn't want to share any style elements with earlier European styles. That's ambitious.
And, of course, they didn't succeed in that because it's impossible to do. They really relied heavily on the arts and crafts movement, which had developed in England.
Can you describe what the arts and craft movement was?
Basically, arts and crafts was designed to make houses essentially look like English cottages with handcrafted elements. It was a reaction against the industrialization of home building that was just beginning to come into play at the end of the 19th and early 20th centuries. So as a result of that, the idea was to have either unique or very distinctive decoration items within the houses as well as attached to the houses. They also greatly decreased the amount of overall decoration on the exterior of the house.
And part of this goal, if I'm not mistaken, is to create an architectural style not just unique to America, but really native to the Midwest. And in fact, I've read that the horizontality of that style, which I hope you'll elaborate on a little bit, is supposed to echo the lines of the prairie with the width and symmetry of the unbroken horizon.
First of all, I want to congratulate you on saying horizontality correctly because I could barely get that out of my mouth. But it is the emphasis is on the horizontal frame of the house. And one of the things that definitely does strike you about Prairie School houses or houses of that design is that they tend to have flatter or flat roofs. They tend to have lines that run, parallel with the horizon. Then contrasted, the windows and such frequently are very tall and vertical.
What's the purpose of that?
Contrast, I think, as much as anything, because if the windows were sort of flat and wide, that would almost overwhelm you with that particular direction. So you do, from a stylistic standpoint, as best I can understand, what they're trying to do is to break up that horizontality a bit and get some verticality. But the overall frame of the house is much flatter rather than taller, and it is not to emphasize the overall mass of the house.
Within this group of architects who all worked to some degree within what would be considered the Prairie School, what did Clarence Shepard do that was maybe unique or distinctive? Did he have his own calling card in any way?
Well, one of the things that's distinctive about Shepard compared with many of the Prairie School architects is that he didn't confine himself to that style.
I noticed that on an informal tour I went on yesterday. Some of these houses, I'd stop and be totally in disbelief that I had come to the right address, like
correct,
double, triple, quadruple checking.
Exactly, because he does houses. There's one house, I happen to live in the Hyde Park neighborhood in Midtown, Kansas City, and there's one house there that is almost like a southern mansion. That is a house that was designed by Clarence Shepard and one of his later partners in business. And so you can get, it's got the big columns out in front. It's a stone house. It emphasizes, it's dressed to impress, so to speak. And as a result, very non-Prairie School. what Shepherd clearly understood was that in a sort of medium-sized market like Kansas City, there are a number of folks who sort of would like the prairie school idea, and then there are a number of folks who have some very definite ideas about what they want. And if you have enough money to hire an architect, then you also probably have enough money to influence that architect. And as a result, the style of house usually reflects something of a compromise between the architect's ideas and the initial homeowner's ideas.
But speaking of this house in Hyde Park that is so divergent from the style, there was a house in Hyde Park that I visited that appeared to be maybe a pretty good example of it. It was sort of a grayish color. Paint colors can change, of course, but what is interesting about this house and a couple of the others I saw is that it's almost like the house could be turned sideways and you could still be essentially feeling as though you're approaching it from the front. Like the distinction between the entrance does not seem to be a grand entrance.
Correct. Well, that was one of the things about the Prairie School is that they very purposefully de-emphasized the entrance. And frequently, it would not be on the front of the house at all. There's a wonderful example that's often cited that's over in Kansas City, Kansas, what's called the Judge Gage House on Cambridge in Kansas City, Kansas. And it is the entry to the house is on the side under a porch that's on the side. And that's a not infrequent arrangement. There are prairie school houses that have broad front porches. Because as long as it doesn't have too steep a roof on the porch, it would kind of fit into the overall style. But for the most part, the front porch is greatly de-emphasized. And that was also in the early 20th century a style that many folks, including especially J.C. Nichols, were interested in emphasizing. Nichols himself, regardless of the style of house, basically wanted people to live, as he said, on the garden side of the house. He didn't like the term backyard. That was not his favorite. But the garden side of the house was the backyard. And so he oriented the living of the house toward the rear instead of the front porch. Some of us today would possibly question the wisdom of that, but it was very much an in-vogue idea. And some of what generated that was the prairie school concept.
Was there a philosophical underpinning to that idea or some cultural current that it tapped into?
Well, in the case of Nichols, I think it comes down to the issue of privacy and private areas of recreation and family life and such. While Nichols certainly created parks and parkways and areas of you know public interaction, he was at heart a guy who was very interested in the private side of family life and for the houses in his neighborhood to promote that. He was something of a control freak, to be quite honest. He would drive around, for example, and make sure that people had the garage door shut because he thought that. And certainly you should never see any clothes on a line that could be seen from the street. That was just a real no-no. And Nichols would do that was his Sunday afternoon entertainment. Drive around that.
You're listening to the history of architecture in the residential neighborhoods of Kansas City here on Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM. I'm Gina Kaufman. My guest is historian Bill Worley, and we're talking about architect Clarence Shepherd in particular. And Clarence Shepherd did work with Frank Lloyd Wright. That's something that you've said maybe on some level has worked to his disadvantage. But can you talk about that association a little bit?
Well, it's an interesting thing because the documentation is real sketchy. What it seems is that he probably was a draftsman for in the Frank Lloyd Wright studio in Oak Park in Chicago. The reality is that he did not have an architectural license at that time. He had studied architecture at the University of California at Berkeley, but was not a licensed architect. That didn't come until he moved to Kansas City in 1905, exactly the same year that Nichols gets started in Kansas City. So the fact is that his connection with Wright is sketchy. I was looking at some websites that indicated all the architects influenced by Wright, and Clarence Shepherd's not listed among them. But I think there is enough evidence that he actually worked there.
Did the prairie school style catch on beyond the Midwest instead of, in spite of having been originated here?
To some degree. It really, quite honestly, I think it's the guiding effect in terms of what would seem to be sort of a degeneration of the style post-World War II, which is the California ranch house, because the low-hipped roof, which is very distinctive of Prairie School, winds up being exactly the roofing style that, you know, is picked up. And, of course, then there's the variation of that, which is the flat roof, which also is distinctive of many Prairie School houses. What has happened in recent times, and we have examples of this here in Kansas City, I would recommend folks maybe go to the corner of 52nd and Wyandotte, where you have two houses across the street from each other that are almost perfect examples of Prairie School architecture, but they've been built in both cases in the last 5 years. So they're Prairie School revival, if you will. Wonderful
But houses. 52nd and Wyandotte is the corner to be on if you want to go look at this?
That would be the place.
Don't everyone pile into that intersection all at once, but that's a good opportunity to go see some things. And a lot of Clarence Shepard's houses are on the historic register. What does that mean exactly? I mean, what is guaranteed to be preserved about them to preserve their integrity, and what might very well change?
Well, and of course, there are different registers. There's the National Register, and there's the Kansas City Register, and there's even a Missouri Register. The most restrictive in terms of exterior change is the Kansas City Register.
Interesting. Yes, more than the national.
More than
the
federal. In most cases, either neighborhoods or and then therefore the houses within those neighborhoods or houses themselves are that are on the register are. The owners have committed themselves to maintaining the integrity of the architectural style of the house. And as a result of that, we do have a wide variety because today, as hard as it might be to understand, a California ranch style house in Prairie Village, for example, could be on the National Register because it's more than 50 years old.
So this house in Kansas City, Kansas, of Clarence Shepard's, I assume you've taken a look at that, done
Correct.
A little drive-by. What can you tell us about it?
Well, it's not a real large house. It is two-story, painted a wonderful warm yellow. The windows are trimmed in red, and they are quite vertical on both the first floor and the second floor. One of the other typical Prairie School situations is it has a low-hipped roof.
When you say low-hipped, what do you mean?
It does not have a very high peak to it. A hipped roof is a roof where the slope of the roof goes out to the same edge all the way around the house, but it has something of a pitch to it in this particular case. And so the result of that is that you have a narrow front to the street. The house is longer. It's mostly rectangular in shape with a porch on the side that covers the entryway in this respect. But it's a marvelous example of that style. And it's also a fairly late example because he built it and it was built in the early 1920s when Prairie School was declining.
And if you want to see photos of this house and a couple of others that are by Clarence Shepard in Kansas City in the Prairie School style, we've got them on our website, kcur.org. Bill Worley, do you think that the houses built in Kansas City after Shepard are influenced by his style? Did he set a new standard in some way?
Well, I think that what he did was to create very livable houses that have helped to maintain the integrity of entire neighborhoods. In part because they've inspired subsequent owners to make sure that they were maintained properly, which is really the key to a neighborhood retaining its attractiveness to subsequent generations.
In what way does knowing about Shepard and being able to spot his architecture and understand this history maybe enrich the present-day life of a Kansas City and moving through the neighborhoods where he worked?
Well, at one level, it's just wonderful trivia. At another level, I think it's very useful to know that we have local architects, Shepard for one, Lewis Curtis for another, who also did some very wonderful Prairie School and other designs. But we have numerous local architects that both created unique styles, but also in many cases were able to build in the accepted and desired styles of the day, but to do it very well and in a way that people would enjoy living in them.
Tell our listeners more about his churches. Was he a religious man?
Not particularly. He was raised Episcopalian and sort of, as happens sometimes, seems to have strayed into nonconformity as time went on. But he was interested in religious style. The two churches that he designed had some connection. The Second Presbyterian Church was called that because it was the second one in Kansas City. It had built up after the Civil War downtown, and in the same fire that burned the convention hall that had just been built where today's Bartle Hall is located, right across the street was Second Presbyterian, and it burned in that same fire.
Wow.
So the congregation scattered, but many of them joined up with Westport Presbyterian, which was an old Cumberland Presbyterian church in Westport. And they, for about a decade, worshipped as pretty much a single congregation. And then many of the folks who had lived in Quality Hill before the fire by 1910 and after are buying lots and building houses in J.C. Nichols Country Club District as a result.
And, you know, there was this fire in 2011, and the church largely burnt down during that fire. But it's being rebuilt by some contemporary architects at BNIM here in town. According to everything I read about that project, they're preserving what they can of the original, but also entering into kind of a contemporary dialogue with that original idea. What are your thoughts on that, knowing Shepherd as you do?
Well, I think that Shepherd would be quite open to that were he around, because he certainly was an architect that looked to what was happening on the architectural front. And BNIM is a very innovative firm that will, I'm sure, handle this very carefully, and it will be a wonderful addition to the city once again.
Bill Worley, historian and professor, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us today.
Thank you.
To hear more about architect Clarence E. Shepherd and the Prairie School style, you can go to Bill Worley's talk at the Kansas City Public Library this Sunday at 2. That's at the Plaza Branch. We'll have the details on our website later today, along with photos of some Clarence Shepherd houses. Central Standard is going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have music and armadillos. Yes, you heard that right. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stay tuned.